At times, clergy will hear it said, "Mom or dad, or my spouse, wanted their ashes dropped into the ocean, or perhaps to sprinkle the ashes over a favorite golf course, into the wind at the edge of a mountaintop, or sprinkled onto a cherished garden in the yard. What is the proper and dignified way of handling the remains of the deceased according to the teachings of the church? This Sunday, we are taking a look at this and other questions as they relate to one of the corporal works of mercy, burying the dead. Let us first see what the scriptures in history have to say about this impending phase of a Christian's life. In the Roman Empire, the dead were most often disposed of by inhumation and also by cremation. It is well understood that the concept of cremation was quite common in much of the empire. As for inhumation, it is what today we recognize as burying the whole body, interred in a grave in the ground or entombed in a chamber. This form of handling the dead, the burying of the body in its intact condition, was also widely practiced in Roman times. For the Christians of that era, the practice of burial often involved subterranean chambers, like niches cut into walls, where bodies were walled in with stone or slabs, some of those known today as the Roman catacombs. Early on in salvation history, long before the reign of the Romans, Abraham requests a burial place to lay Sarah's body in the cave of Machpelah. Several verses later, in the same book of Genesis, Jacob instructs his sons to bury him with his ancestors in that same cave of Machpelah. In the book of Tobit, a certain Jew was steadfast in his fidelity to God, going out of his way to bury fellow Israelites, even while in exile, and having been forbidden to do so by local authorities. Tobit would properly dispose of the bodies, being obedient to Jewish religious law by burying them with dignity. In a way, Tobit may be seen as foreshadowing Christ and Christian discipleship by the way Tobit cares for the forgotten and expresses his mercy for the suffering and the dead. The burial themes of the Old Testament place attention on honor, on the preservation of family identity, on proper treatment of the dead, and on communal mourning. Fast forward from the early Jewish scripture to the time of Jesus, and we encounter the situation involving the burial of Lazarus. His body had been wrapped in linens and laid in the tomb 4 days prior to Jesus raising him. Christ's own lifeless body, after his crucifixion, was carefully cleaned, wrapped, and placed in the tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea. During his public ministry, Christ invites a young man to follow him, but he requests additional time to first bury his father. Jesus tells him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Christ is in no way minimizing the importance of burial. Rather, he is demanding a higher allegiance to the kingdom of God, which takes priority even over the social obligation of burying the dead. In his Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, Ludwig Ott explains that the dead will rise again with the same bodies that they had on earth. He cites where in the Fourth Lateran Council of 1215, a declaration is made which states, all of them, the dead, will rise again with their own bodies, which they now bear. Pseudo Clement, in a letter to the Corinthians, states, this flesh will rise again and be judged, and we shall receive our reward in this flesh. Scripture tells us this body will be raised as a glorified body. Here shortly at this Mass, we will all profess our faith by reciting the Church's Creed. In the earlier version of the Apostles' Creed, we affirm our belief in the resurrection of the body. So we revisit now our earlier question. What is the proper and dignified way of handling the remains of the deceased? Early on, the Catholic Church forbid the cremation of Christians for burial purposes. The concern was that people would liken it to a pagan ceremony in days of antiquity, where cremation might be perceived as a celebration offering burned bodies to pagan gods. The Church's first change on this stance came with the Holy See's instruction in 1963 in Pium et Constantem, approved by Pope Paul VI. It states that while cremation is not the preferred norm, it is not intrinsically opposed to Christianity, but only, quote, provided that it does not demonstrate a denial of faith in the resurrection of the body, unquote. The preferred practice of the Church, however, has always been and continues to be burying the dead. The acceptance of cremation was incorporated into canon law in 1983 and further clarified in 2016 by the Vatican document Et Resurgendum Cum Christo, to rise again with Christ. This document makes it clear that cremains are not to be displayed at home, such as on the fireplace mantle, nor scattering the ashes, dividing them among relatives, nor keeping ashes as part of jewelry or mementos. This document further says that if the deceased notoriously requested cremation for reasons contrary to Christian faith and the resurrection, a Christian funeral must be denied. On the topic of cremation, the Catechism also asserts that the Church cannot condone attitudes or rites which involve ideas that consider death as the definitive annihilation of the person or the moment of fusion with Mother Nature or with the universe. To be clear, the Catholic Church insists that the body be handled with respect, reverence, and charity in faith and hope of the resurrection, since the person's body remains as God's temple always. It certainly may be seen as a betrayal to have a loved one's body cremated if she or he had desired for their body instead to be buried. Our clergy cringes and is saddened to hear that a lifelong Catholic has died and their fallen away family refuses to have a funeral mass or even brief Catholic prayers at the vigil. Instead, a family member will make the decision to have a non-Catholic lay preacher administer the body's final moments. Here at Prince of Peace, we are so blessed with our priests, Father Smith, Tomlinson, Father Davison. Without hesitation, they selflessly pour themselves out, providing sanctifying hope and mercy as they bring last rites to souls on the threshold of their final breath. God reveals truth to us through His church because He believes we can receive that truth and be transformed by it. The truth, even when it is hard, is always an act of love. The human body is not a shell. It is not a container that the soul uses and then discards. The church teaches that the body and soul are united in a way that is permanent and sacred. When we die, that union is temporarily disrupted, but it's not destroyed. We are talking about that same body that approached the confessional seeking God's mercy. A body that knelt at the communion rail to receive sustenance for its spiritual pilgrimage. That body will be raised. This is why the Catholic Church buries her dead as a proclamation that the body matters. It is not rubbish to be disposed of. This body has a future. Some of you may have noticed while attending funeral masses over the years that occasionally the casket is rotated by the funeral staff when it is stationed at the foot of the altar. If the deceased was a member of the church's clergy, his feet are turned towards the congregation. He is facing them as he always faced the parishioners while at the altar. Other deceased who are not clergy are positioned so that they face the altar, just as they did each time from the pew during Mass. That funeral liturgy is that body's last Mass. Having heard, let us take our brother, our sister, to their place of rest. The committal of the body is carried out at a cemetery or columbarium with the priest or deacon invoking the church's last prayer of hope. The Lord bless and keep her. The Lord make His face to shine upon her and be gracious to her. The Lord lift up His countenance upon her and give her peace.